Somebody say, the house of God is the gate of heaven. Say it again. The house of God is the gate of heaven. I want you to look up. Don't see the ceiling. Look beyond the ceiling. Look through the clouds, beyond the clouds, past the sun, past the universe, into the third heavens. God wants us to have on earth what's available to us in heaven. And he wants us, hallelujah, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, he's going to release some powerful revelation to us today. How to become a genuine gate church. It's one thing to say we're a gate church. It is another thing to experience. And I believe that we're experiencing. But the Lord wants us to know the financial blessings that we're experiencing is the least. God has great and abundant more for us. How would you like to walk up to a person that has AIDS and speak the word of God to them, and their blood system completely changed forever? That's the more. How would you like to see someone without legs in a wheelchair, and all of a sudden you speak to them and their legs, brand new legs, grow? Oh, bless his name. Someone who's been given a terminal declaration that they can't live past next week, and you speak a word to them, you lay hands on them, and that diagnosis changed forever. That's the more that God desires to do for us. Or God takes us to a family that's living in their car, and we purchase them a brand new home and put that family in a home and fill it with everything that's needed, including groceries. Hallelujah. That's the more. God want to stretch us beyond our own imagination. He want to take us out of our comfort zone. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of that church. The house of God is the gate of heaven. When you hear that, I want you to begin to take yourself out of this realm and begin to see yourself seated in heavenly places with the Lord, communicating with him about what is the next thing that he desires you to do that's supernatural and phenomenal, that you can't possibly take any credit for. Let's go again to Genesis 28 and take a look at the forerunner. Hallelujah. Beginning with verse 10. His name is Jacob. I want to share something with you today that's going to help us to understand great grace. Somebody say, great grace. Great grace. And Jacob left Beersheba, verse 10 in the Amplified, and went toward Haran. And he came to a certain place and stayed there overnight because the sun was set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and laid down there to sleep. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Now, when we think about this ladder, how God set up this dream for Jacob the dreamer, and when we compare it to Nimrod and his vicious, rebellious people that tried to build a tower into heaven, how God caused confusion to come into their speech because their motive was wrong. Then God would turn around and send a ladder in this dream to Jacob. I believe not just for his day, but for our day as well. Verse 13, and behold, the Lord stood over and beside him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, your forefather, and the God of Isaac. I will give to you and to your descendants the land on which you are lying. And your offspring shall be as countless as the dust or sand of the ground. And you shall spread abroad to the west and the east and the north and to the south. And you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed and bless themselves. This is the promise from our covenant-keeping God. And behold, I am with you and will keep watch over you and with care take notice of you wherever you may go, and I will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done all of which I have told you. And Jacob awoke from his sleep and he said, surely the Lord is in this place and I did not know it. He was afraid and said, how to be feared and reverenced is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gateway to heaven. And Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone he had put under his head, and he set it up for a pillar, a monument to the vision of his dream. And he poured oil on its top in dedication. And he named that place Bethel, the house of God. But the name of that city was Luz at first. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me food to eat and clothing to wear, God would be my source, the source of my physical needs, so that I may come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone, which I have set up as a pillar, a monument, shall be God's house, a sacred place to me. And of all the increase of possessions, everything that comes into my hands that you give me, I will give the tenth to you. I will return the tithe. God said that you and I must begin envisioning an atmosphere in this house that encounters the God of Jacob. I said, God said we must begin envisioning in this house. If we're going to become the gate church that God is calling us to be, we must begin to envision an atmosphere. We must create an atmosphere. We must begin to see with our spiritual eyes that there's an atmosphere that will encounter the God of Jacob. Saints, to build a gate church is to build a specific atmosphere that has a specific effect on those who become involved in it. I want you to hear that statement on today. I want that to go deep down in your heart. As I was coming up the steps from our holy offering and preparing for Holy Communion, the media had already put our vision statement on the board. That vision statement should stay before our eyes, glory to God, so that we can run with it. But we must build a specific atmosphere in this house that has a specific effect on those who become involved in it. Nobody should be here just because you found a church. You should be here very clearly because you are a part of the vision. You have a piece of the puzzle. You are willing to work together as a team, hallelujah, to bring glory to God. Now, I want us to go to Genesis 27 because I want us to begin to look at something today, glory to God, hallelujah, that will reveal the grace of God. Now remember, we're in Genesis, and we're going actually to Genesis 27, but we're in Genesis, and we must remember that this was before the law. So what was in operation before the law? God's grace. It's very important. as we begin to look at the situation in chapter 27, it will make you wonder how God could say the things he said to the same person as we just read in our foundation scripture in chapter 28. I want to begin with verse 1, and I want to read down, and I want you to listen to who God chose. When Isaac was old, Isaac is the son of Father Abraham. When Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his older or elder son, and said to him, "My son," and he answered him, "Here I am." Esau was a twin. Jacob was his twin. Esau came first, so his father considered him the elder brother. In their culture, that meant something. He said, "See here now, I am old. I do not know when I may die. So now I pray you, take your weapons, your arrows in a quiver and your bow, and go out into the open country and hunt game for me. And prepare me appetizing meat, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat of it, preparatory to giving you my blessing as my firstborn before I die." Now, that was a mandatory thing in their culture, was that the firstborn would receive the blessing from the father before he dies. But Rebekah heard. Rebekah is Isaac's wife, or Esau and Jacob's mother. Rebekah heard what Isaac said to Esau, his son. And when Esau had gone to the open country to hunt for game that he might bring it, Rebekah said to Jacob, her younger son, "See here, I heard your father say to Esau, your brother, 'Bring me game and make me appetizing meat so that I may eat and declare my blessing upon you before the Lord, before my death.' So now, my son, Jacob, do exactly as I command you. Go now to the flock, and from it bring me two good and suitable kids, and I will make them into appetizing meat for your father, such as he loves." Look at this mother. "And you shall bring it to your father, that he may eat and declare his blessing upon you before his death." What was this mother doing? "But Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, 'Listen, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. Suppose my father fails me, I will seem to him to be a cheat and an impostor, and I will bring this curse on me and not his blessing.' But his mother said to him, 'Oh me, on me be your curse. Let me be cursed, my son. Only obey my word and go fetch them to me.'" So don't worry about you being cursed. I'll receive the curse. "So Jacob went, got the kids, and brought them to his mother. And his mother prepared appetizing meat with a delightful odor such as his father loved. Put the right spices in it. Then Rebekah took her elder son Esau's best clothing, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kid on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. So he went to his father and said, 'My father.' And he said, 'Here am I. Who are you, my son?' And Jacob said to his father, 'I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done what you told me to do. Now sit up and eat my game so that you may proceed to bless me.' And Isaac said to his son, 'How is it that you have found the game so quickly, my son?' And he said, 'Because the Lord your God caused it to come to me.'" Now he done brought God into the deception. "But Isaac said to Jacob, 'Come close to me, I beg of you, that I may feel you, my son, and know whether you really are my son Esau or not.'" He knew his father was blind. So Jacob went near to Isaac, and his father felt him and said, "The voice of Jacob's voice." So you sound just like Jacob, but the hands are the hands of